If you remain standing for Barbara to read for us our scripture reading this morning.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Gracious God, we thank you that you have a word for us today. You want to tell us something. You're the living God. We've been celebrating your son, Jesus Christ, who's alive, who is present here today through the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to change our lives, the power to make us different people. And Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon all of us here so that we would want to go and tell others about Jesus and be witnesses for him everywhere. Give me the words to speak. Pour your Holy Spirit upon me, upon all of us, that we can be your people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In 1974, I had just finished a year working. I graduated high school in 1973, finished a year working, and my friend Dave Cheeks came to my house. It was in about May of that year. And he said, Jeff, he said, I believe that God is telling us, me and you, to go. We need to go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, from Kentucky, and go and spend the summer there, get a job and work and be witnesses and tell people about Jesus. Now, I got it. My initial reaction as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, something like that, just been out a year out of high school, was the beach, girls, and it'd be a lot of fun. And then I began to think about what David said to us, said to me about us, that we need to go and leave everything behind, go get a job. We didn't know where we were going to work at. We didn't know where we were going to live at. I didn't have a car. I had a bicycle. Dave had a car. And it just didn't make sense. I needed to get ready to go to college that fall. I needed to work and earn some money to go to college. Yet Dave was clear that he believed that God was telling us to go and to be witnesses. But I had all these objections, all these excuses on why we shouldn't go. Today, I want you to know that we serve a God who is always on the move, a God who moves, a God who tells his people to go and change the world. That's a pretty amazing assignment, that God wants you to go and change the world. Throughout Scripture, God calls people to go. Abraham was called to go, to leave his land, to leave his family, to leave his country, to go and change the world, to go and be the man God called him to be. It was at Mount Horeb in the burning bush that God spoke to Moses. He says, Moses, I want you to go. I want you to go into Egypt and set my people free from bondage and from captivity. I want you to go. And what did Moses do? He gave a bunch of excuses on why he couldn't go. In the New Testament, we read that God so loved the world that he said to his son, I want you to go into the world. I want you to go to earth, and I want you to go and demonstrate my love for the world. I want you to go and be crucified on a cross. I want you to go and show them my love and my power and that I have a plan for their life. I want you to go and set them free from slavery and bondage to sin. And we know that we're here today because Jesus said, I'll go. And he prayed this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. I will go to the cross. And Barbara read for us the passage where Jesus gives clear instruction to the believers. That's you. If you're here this morning, many of you, most of you are believers in God. Most of you would say that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And you're a follower of his. Well, the instructions that Jesus gives to believers is to go. To go and be witnesses. To go into Jerusalem, which is your hometown, your neighborhood, to go into Judea, which is the region in which you live, to go into Samaria, the place that you don't want to go, and to go to the ends of the earth. Go everywhere and be a witness. But the question is, why don't we go? Why don't we go? I mean, it's not a suggestion that we go and be witnesses. It's a command from Jesus Christ to all believers to go and be witnesses. Well, last weekend, Sunday morning, I had been deep in the woods with Alan last weekend, and my truck was a mess. And so I asked Lynn, who had gone to church on Saturday night, and said, Lynn, can I drive your car to church in the morning because my truck is really messed up? And she said, sure. So I go get in her car, and she has one of those keyless cars, right? And so I go push the button for her car to start, and these words appeared on the dash: no fob detected. What is that? You know, so I picked up the fob. I had it in my pocket. So I pushed the button again, and it said, no fob detected. Now, I didn't know this till this morning. Pastor Brian pointed this out to me, that a fob is a finger-operated button. How many of you knew that? A finger-operated button. I learned something today. But I was pushing the button, and nothing was working. You know, at 6:30, it was dark in the house. I was trying to get to the church. And so I reached into my pocket and looked at the fob, and I realized that I picked up the micro temp scan for my grill, you know? And it was not going to start her car. I had the wrong fob, the finger operated button. This has got a button on it, it scans, it'll tell you the temperature of the car once it starts, but it wouldn't start her car. I had the wrong fob. So why don't we go? I'm going to give you some phrases today, but I want you to remember the fob, finger-operated button, okay? Why don't we go? Well, I think the first reason we don't go is because of fear. We're afraid to go and be a witness. We're afraid to go and be a witness. Why? Three things I would say. One is reputation. What will people think about me if I go and be a witness for Jesus? Now, let me just say to you, if you're a believer in Jesus, it's very important that you and I not be ashamed of Jesus. Can I get a second to that? Why is that? Because Jesus is not ashamed of you. Now, I don't know about you, but probably somewhere midway through the first half, he could have been ashamed of me, of the game last night. How many of you are like that? Anybody do anything yesterday that might have been a little bit? Ooh, okay, all right, thank you for that confession. I'm not alone, right? He's not ashamed of you. All of us here make mistakes and mess up. He's not ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of him, okay? Jesus wore a badge. Jesus' reputation took a hit when he walked on the earth. Why did his reputation take a hit? Because he hung around with sinners. He was a friend to sinners. And he got criticized by the religious people for being a friend to sinners. Don't be afraid of your reputation if you make a witness for Jesus. Maybe you're afraid of rejection. You know, that people aren't going to listen to me and they're going to reject what I have to say. You know, we need to switch our focus from living for people's approval to living for the Creator's approval. Can I get a second to that? Are you more concerned about people's approval or God's approval? And then maybe it's ridicule. You know, I don't know what to say, and they're going to ask me a question that I don't know the answer to, and, you know, they're going to make fun of me. You know, it's going to be ridicule. I'm you know, think of me. You know, again, Dave says to me in 1974, you know, we need to go to Myrtle Beach and be a witness. You know, I'm a redneck from Kentucky. I say far and iron and Arn and all that. You know, I don't speak the same language people speak in South Carolina, you know, and how am I going to communicate with these people down there? I mean, I had long hair and, you know, it's just, you know, I'm going to be a witness. It didn't matter because God said, go be a witness. Ridicule. You know, let me just say, Jesus said that we are to go and be what? Witnesses. Say that with me, witness. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, go and be an attorney? Now, an attorney has got to make a case. An attorney has got to present all the evidence. An attorney has got to get a result. And we need those folks that do good work, who make a case, present evidence, and reach a decision. They're an advocate for the person they're representing. Jesus didn't say, go and make a case. Go and get a decision. He said, go and what? Tell what you know. Go and tell who you know. Go and be a witness of the good news of God's love. And, you know, I learned a great thing somewhere in the midst of ministering in Myrtle Beach, is that I don't change anybody. I don't convince anybody. All I've got to do is give a witness. Can you say the word witness with me? Witness. Who does the changing? God does the changing. The Holy Spirit takes words of somebody so simple-minded as a 17-year-old from Kentucky and changes people's lives. In fact, when we got to the beach and started working at Lakewood Campground, one of the first things we did was start a service on a Wednesday night that was a sing-along. And what we used is we invited campers from all over the country, from Indiana, from Ohio, from North Carolina, from Georgia, Alabama, wherever, to come up and give a witness. Open mic. Just come give a witness of what Jesus Christ means to you. And they did that. We didn't have to give any witness. We just let people give the witness. And it was powerful. And at the end of the program, we would give an invitation for folks who wanted to meet Jesus personally, and many people would want to believe in Jesus because why? People gave a witness. They just told what Jesus had done for them. So fear, don't be afraid. Secondly is objections. How many of you have already thought of objections why you can't be a witness? Excuses. Let me give you some real quickly. We say we're not gifted to be a witness. I don't have the gift of being a witness. Well, let me just clear this up for you. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you've got to have a gift to be a witness. Now, it says you can have the gift of evangelism. That's for people like Billy Graham, right? Big gift, evangelism. You don't have to have a gift to be a witness. You just need to know Jesus to be a witness. You need to be a follower to be a witness. You know, for example, there is a spiritual gift of mercy. There are some people who have an amazing ability to show mercy. But does that mean that if you don't have the gift of mercy, you don't have to show mercy? There are some people, they have the amazing gift of generosity. And they can make an impact generously because God gave them that gift. But when we pass the offering plate, you just say, no, I don't have that gift. You know, that's not for me. No. No, we all need to give. We all need to show mercy. We all need to show compassion. And we all need to be a witness. Don't have that gift. Now, I never heard anybody say this next one. Some of you may have thought it. May have whispered it. That's what we pay the pastor and staff to do. You know, we pay them to be the witness. You know, I bring them to church and they tell them the story. You know, that's what I do. No, that's not what Jesus didn't say. He says, for you, all of you, to go and be a witness. Now, is it in my job description to be a witness? Absolutely. But it's also my job description as a Christian when I'm not working at the church, when I'm out in the field, out in the woods, or out in on the lake, or wherever I am, I'm supposed to be a witness for Jesus. Because all of us are supposed to be a witness of Jesus. What's the next one? It says, I don't want to impose my beliefs. Really? You know, how many of you have a hard time holding on to good news? Anybody here? How many of you got excited yesterday somewhere watching a football game? Anybody here get excited? And, you know, and you probably started texting somebody. Hey, we just go. I think, you know, excitement. When you got good news, you want to share it. I've shared with many of you that our daughter and granddaughter are living with us now, and Harper Grace came up to me not too long ago. She was so excited. I couldn't understand what she was saying, but she was so excited, and I tried to discern what she was saying. It was something about unicorn, and I didn't understand unicorn, and it was something, you know, she was, you know, excited. And so we played back the TV and saw the commercial that she had seen, and she saw a zippy sack. You may know what a zippy sack is? You might know what a zippy sack. Zippy sack is this thing that you put over your bed that looks like a sleeping bag, and it's got ponies and a pony on it, or a dog on it, or a unicorn. So we figured this out, right? Zippy sack. So being the grandfather that I am now, I went online and ordered a zippy sack, right? And so got the zippy sack, you know, came in, $29.99, zippy sack. I got it in, and I'm saving it for just the right occasion, right? Got to put it up on the closet, save it for the right occasion to give to Harper Grace. Well, it turns out this weekend she's sick. She's running a fever. She's not feeling good. So Friday she's sick, and it was Thursday she was sick, and Friday I came home from prayer breakfast and took care of her. Lynn had an appointment. And Saturday night, Friday, Thursday night, I went in and I felt sorry for her. She was laying there moaning with a fever, and you know, what do? You know, I don't know what to do. So I give her the zippy sack, right? So I, you know, so I, here, this will make you happy, right? You know, well, she kind of looked at me, yeah, you know, anyway. So, but the next morning, on Friday morning, when the fever broke and she got up and got to be excited, she looked at her zippy sack and she was so excited. And she wanted to put her zippy sack in the zippy sack pouch you can carry it with. And she's like, I got to get my dress on and I got to get my shoes on because I got to go show Unky my zippy sack. And then she goes through a whole list of friends. I got to throw this and this and this and this. And she was ready to go. And so I thought, you know, I don't know what to do, you know. Unky's at work and her friends are at school. And so I go, hey, I need to take some trash off. Let's go to the recycling place. So I load her up in the car. And here we go with her zippy sack to the recycling center. And all the people at the recycling center got to see the zippy sack, right? She was, you know, she was doing this right here. You know, and that was all she needed to do. She needed to go show somebody, tell somebody what she was excited about. She was given a witness. She could have sold 100 zippy sacks that morning. Are you that excited about your faith in Jesus Christ? You have met the Savior of the world. He has come into your life. He's forgiven you of your sins. He's given you the gift of not just life here, but eternal life. And will you share that with somebody? Another excuse is, or objection is, they won't believe me. The first person I shared with Christ, when God told me to go tell somebody, I was 14 years old. I'd been a Christian about 6 months. I had no clue what I was talking about. And God says, I want you to go. And as I was at a church event, they were in the basement of the church. They took a break, and the guy said, go tell somebody. So God told me, go tell somebody about Jesus. So what did I do? I went up in the sanctuary and went to the altar and prayed. And I kept praying, hoping that sooner or later the break would be over and I could go back downstairs because I was too afraid to tell anybody about Jesus. I was 14. And I prayed there and I heard the music start. I go, okay, good. How many of you have done that? You pray so you don't do what God wants you to do. Anybody do that? You pray so you won't do what God wants you to do. So I prayed and music started and I got up to leave and I was going to go back downstairs. I was excited, been spiritual. I'd prayed. And a voice in the back of the sanctuary said, hey, could I talk to you? I saw you up there praying. Would you come and tell me what you were praying about? Oh, man. You know, I'm 14. I don't know what to say. I prayed. God, give me something to say. Long story short, I shared what I knew about Jesus. I was a witness about Jesus, how he changed my life. And the guy said to me, would you go up there at that altar and pray with me? Because I want to invite Jesus into my heart. I just wanted to be a witness. I didn't think he would believe me, but the Holy Spirit helped me believe. And then finally we say we're not perfect. We use an excuse and we say we haven't got our act together. They'll think I'm a hypocrite. Nobody in here is perfect. Only one perfect person's walked on the planet, and that was Jesus, and he was a witness. And then the last one on the fob here is bunker down. We don't go anywhere. We have denomination that's in decline because we're not going anywhere. We have churches that are closing because we're not going anywhere. We make excuses. We make objections. We're afraid, and we don't go anywhere. And churches are dying and declining because of that. We become inwardly focused, and we focus on what we want for church, what we want for our pew, what we want for our room, instead of focusing on what they need out there. We forget about the needs of the world. Why has Mount Horeb grown? Why has Mount Horeb impacted this community and the Midlands? Because people about 20 years ago stopped being afraid. People stopped being afraid. They started being a witness about Jesus. They started telling other people about Jesus. They stopped making excuses. They stopped being in a bunker. We have people every week that leave this sanctuary. Leave here and go and be a witness. And they go tell others about Jesus. Some of them are sitting right beside you. Some of them are sitting in front of you or behind you. And they go and are a witness. I want you to listen to three people that sit in these pews every weekend, just like you, who go and be a witness. Watch this.
I'm Trey Mitchell, and I decided that I will go by living intentionally every day.
Hello, my name is Janet McGuinn. I've said I will go by serving in Haiti.
My name is Gordon May, and I decided to say I will go into prison ministry from a piece of literature I read at this church. And when I read prison ministry, I just went, huh. I assumed that huh was from the Lord, and when the Lord tells me to go, I go.
Years ago, when Wade was traveling all over the world for mission trips, our children were young. But I would go to the airport to pick him up, and his eyes were bluer, and his face was brighter, and he had a peace about him that it was just awesome, and I wanted that peace. But I kept telling myself, God, you called me to be a mother to these children, and I've got to stay home and take care of them. And so for years, I denied that God was calling me to use my gift. I didn't even know what that gift was.
A big obstacle for me was when the high school split. River Bluff and Lexington split off, and I was supposed to go to River Bluff. That's where I'm zoned for. But my sister was staying, and to this day, I don't really know why, but for some reason, I decided I want to stay at Lexington. And that was a big challenge for me because all my friends, my close friends went to River Bluff. My acquaintances went to River Bluff. I really didn't know who I was going to be spending most of my time with.
We'll have things going just the way we want them, and the guards will come in to do a count. Microphones will mess up. One of our Kairos guys had a heart attack. As we start building these inmates closer to the Lord, I think the biggest obstacle we run into is Satan, and he is very prevalent inside that prison.
But for a long time, I just went through the motions, kind of lived my life more like it was a checklist of things not to do than intentionally of things that I needed to be doing for the Lord. I would say it's within the past year that I've really made the decision to consciously wake up every morning and say, I'm going to live for the Lord today, and I'm going to be intentional about my actions and my words.
And so my trip there was scary. It wasn't easy. And I wanted to go home. But when I got there, I realized the full measure of my gift. And that was that God called me to be a mom, not just to my children, but to orphans in Haiti, to mothers with small babies that they didn't know how to care for, who were dying of starvation. God had called me to be a mom to those children in Haiti.
I've had one of the biggest blessings in my entire life, one of the greatest moments I've ever incurred inside that prison. It was at the Saturday 6 o'clock chapel service. The Holy Spirit ascended on us, and 34 of the 36 men in that room gave their lives to Jesus Christ. What started out as someone saying, I will go, and put a bag on my doorknob when I was a first-time visitor, ended with me in a maximum security prison on my knees, holding hands with a Muslim while he gave his life to Jesus Christ. There will not be that many moments in my life as precious as that right there.
I would have to say that going to Haiti isn't always fun, and it's definitely not easy. But the payback for going to Haiti is that peace that Wade had on his face when he got off the airplane. It's peace that the one God talks about that passes all understanding. It is that peace. And if I get to see that in just short glimpses in Haiti, then I will continue to live.
You know, Scripture says, to whom much is given, much is expected. And God has put me in positions such as captain of the football team, student body president. And I think for a long time, I didn't realize how much influence I could have on people with all the things God has blessed me with. So rather than take those for granted in my life, I've really started to realize that through those positions, I can affect people, and I think we all can. I think just spreading joy and knowing so-and-so's name or just showing them love has a much bigger impact than we all realize.
You can be a greeter. You can bake some cookies. You can take a homebound person a meal, but do something. Are you going to make a difference? Yes, you're going to make a difference. Are you going to make the world a better place? Yes, you're going to make the world a better place. but something is going to happen between you and God. There is a blessing that awaits you. It's how he works. And I don't want you to miss that moment.
Those are people sitting in the pew with you this morning that are willing to say yes to God to go and make a difference in their high school, in this community, in a prison nearby, or across the ocean in a foreign country. Well, in order for me to go to church last Sunday, I had to go back in the house and get the right fob. I had to go get the right fob, and as soon as I put it in my pocket, I pushed a button, and off we went. What's it going to take for you to go? What's it going to take for you to go? I'm going to give you three things. The first thing it's going to take is faith. In order to go be a witness, you've got to have faith. You've got to be willing to step out when God calls you. Gordon said it. You've got to be willing to step out and make a difference in this world. It's always going to require faith. Faith that can see, that can't see what God can see. The transformation that God can bring to people's life through you. Through you. In 1974, the verse that God gave Dave and I that summer was Hebrews 11:6. It's been my theme verse for my life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's going to require faith. Secondly, it's going to require obedience. You're going to have to become intentional. I love what Trey said. I decided to be intentional. I decided to get up every morning and make a difference for God. I love this quote from Henry Blackaby. You can't go with God and stay where you are. You can't go with God and stay where you are. Every person that's made a difference in this world couldn't stay where they were. They had to go where God told them to go. For me, it was God telling me to leave Kentucky, what I consider the promised land, to go into, from there to Myrtle Beach for a summer, and there eventually go to Missouri for 3 years. And what I loved it in Missouri, we were in the Ozarks, great, great fishing in the Ozarks. I had a great time enjoying ministry there, serving the Lord there, doing being a youth minister, being an associate pastor. It was a great job. But then God said, I want you to go. And he said, I want you to go back to South Carolina. And Lynn was excited. And we spent 10 years in Conway, Lynn's hometown. And I'll never forget when Albert Martin, on the front steps of the church, says, Jeff, it's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. God has other things for you to do. And we were comfortable. We were happy. But God says, I want you to go. And then we're living into the dream that God has for us here. You see, I didn't have the right skills. I didn't have the right training. I didn't have all the answers. But all God wants us to do is be obedient. You know, one day you're going to come to the end of your life. And you're going to look back over your life and you're going to say, did I play it safe? Did I go through the motions? Or did I step out on a limb with the creator of the world? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been on a limb with the creator of the world? Where everything that happened depended on him. Not on you, but on him. The words that you had to speak depended on the words that he gave you to speak. You're on a limb with the creator of the world. And let me tell you, if you get on a limb with the creator of the world, you will find out what purpose is all about. You'll experience that joy, that power that was shared in that video. Of people willing to go on a limb with the creator of the universe. It's going to require some obedience. And then thirdly, it's going to require belief. What do you got to believe? Bottom line, you got to believe that lost people matter to God. Do you believe that this morning? That lost people, unchurched people, non-Christian people matter to God. It doesn't matter what neighborhood they live in. It doesn't matter what zip code they have. It doesn't matter what country they live in. That lost people matter to God. For God so loved the world, not your world only, but the world, that he sent his only son into the world to seek and save those who were lost. Lost people matter to God. If you don't believe that, you're not going to be a witness. You're not going to be a witness if you don't believe that. This past week, we took Al Harper Grace for her first boat ride. Put her life jacket on her and put her in the boat. I had her between my legs and trying to drive the boat, and we're easing through the no-wake zone. And she begins to say to me, "Faster, J. Paul. Faster, J. Paul." And so I'm getting ready to go faster. And then I realize that I don't have my life jacket on. She's got her life jacket on, but I've been around her enough as a three-year-old to know that she's like that. And now, again, if she went overboard, I could probably jump in and I could swim enough to maybe get me back in, but I'm not sure I'd get both of us back in. So I had to stop the boat and get my life jacket on so when she did go overboard, I could go get her. Do you believe that people matter enough to put a life jacket on? To throw them a life preserver because they matter? Why was I going to do that? Because I love Harper Grace. I didn't want her to go to the bottom of Lake Murray. But every day when you leave this church, they're going to run into people that are in a sea of despair. They're in a sea of trouble and brokenness, and they're looking to you to be a witness and to throw them a life jacket, to throw them a life preserver. It's going to require you stepping out and believing that people matter to God. I'm going to do something I've never done before in all my years of ministry. I'm going to use a person to tell you a quick story who's an atheist. Penn Jillette is a comedian. He's a magician. He's a celebrity who's an atheist. But after one of his performances, a man was brave enough, bold enough, cared enough to come up and give him a Bible. Listen to how he responded to that.
It didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me and then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you, and this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. But this guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on. And then like 5 phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man.
I would ask you to pray for Penn Jillette. I believe that God sowed a seed in his heart because somebody was willing to be a witness, willing to go and tell him about Jesus, willing to give him a Bible. Are you willing to go to someone who maybe is totally foreign to faith and be a witness? I want to give you one final fob to close with. The first one is, when you go and be a witness, you're going to impact somebody's future. You're going to impact somebody's eternity. Will you make an impact for somebody's future? It's going to mean you're going to have to look for opportunities. You're going to pray for opportunities. I challenged our men at our prayer breakfast on Friday morning to pray for an opportunity to share their faith with someone. I'm going to ask you to do that. Will you pray for an opportunity to be a witness? Now, be careful when you pray that. God will bring somebody in your path. He may be Penn Jillette. And will you be a witness to someone? Will you pray about that? Will you prepare for that? I love 1 Peter 3:15 says, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Know your story. What is your story if you're a Christian? If you're a believer, what's your story? What's your witness? What was my life like before Jesus? How did I meet Jesus? And how is my life different because of Jesus? It's that simple. What was my life like before Jesus? How did I meet him? And how's my life different because of him? And in your pew, they're all gone, actually, but when you leave here this morning, folks will have one of these books called Steps to Peace with God. It's a great little tract that you can use to share faith with people. I use it all the time in my office with people that I'm counseling with, people that are doing premarital counseling, people that that need to know how to have a relationship with God. We have hundreds of these available today for you to take and be prepared. And then I would say pursue opportunities. Did you know that only 2% of people, listen to this, this is amazing, only 2% of people who attend church ever invite somebody to church? Only 2% of the people that attend church ever invite somebody to church. And did you know that 82% of the people who don't attend church say that if somebody invited them, they would come? You see, there's a big disconnect there, right? Only 2% of us are inviting people to come, and 82% say they would come if somebody invited them. I got a statistic up here that 91% of Americans celebrate Christmas. 18% of Americans attend church. But on Christmas Eve, 47% of people attend church on Christmas Eve. It's a great invite event, right? We've got a men's wild game night this Thursday night, a great time to invite somebody to come. We have a men's retreat here at the church in late October, a great event to invite men to come. Pursue opportunities. So impact somebody's future, pursue opportunities, and then finally this morning, be brave. Be nice when you're a witness. Be real and be sane. Don't be a crazy person. Don't go tackle somebody, hit them over there with the Bible. Just be real and let people know how Jesus Christ has touched your life. There are people out there wanting to know. And did you hear what Penn Jillette said? How much do you have to hate another person not to tell them there's a heaven and a hell? How much do you have to hate a person not to tell them about Jesus Christ? What a power. That's coming from an atheist. How many people are going to be in heaven because of you? Because of you. Because of you. Jesus says, I tell you, you need to go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Will you go? Will you go? Will you go and be a witness? Gracious God, I thank you for this time together. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come across this congregation this morning. And all across this room, there will be people who will say, yes, I will go. I will go and be a witness. It's amazing if almost 2,000 people that were here this weekend would all say, I will go. I will go and tell someone about Jesus. Now, God, you know that we'll go tell people about our favorite football team. We'll go tell people about our favorite food. We'll go tell people about our favorite restaurant. We'll go tell people about our favorite candidate for president. But, Lord God, forgive us for not going and telling people about Jesus, the Savior of the world. And God, if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ, they've come here, they've been brought here, they've been invited here, they've just showed up here this morning, and they've never made a decision to invite Jesus Christ into their life. Lord God, may this be a place where they can meet Jesus. That right now they can ask Jesus Christ, God's Son, your Son, to forgive them of their sins. And right now they can invite Jesus Christ, your Son, into their heart. And right now, in this very moment, they can step out on a limb with the Creator of the world. And they can be challenged to go and change the world. Lord God, touch that person's heart right now that's here. And Lord God, use all of us to go and change the world. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to stand and sing a closing hymn. We're going to sing one verse of this. It's a great song where we say, I will go. Now again, that's the invitation today, is to go. Let's stand together and sing.